Welcome to class session 585 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're in the midst of a study of the history that we read in the Old Testament. And we've come to the point where the nation of Israel, those 10 northern tribes, are being carried away into Assyrian captivity. But we're going to take a break from that lesson today, this being the Monday of the week. If these lessons are being aired in order of way they've been recorded, this will be a Monday. And what we do is, on Mondays, we have our special feature where we read from the Rock Cliff Review. And we do this because in that little publication, the Rock Cliff Review, it's the bulletin of the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff, and we pass that out on Sunday mornings. And in that bulletin, I usually have an article that has something to do with a sermon that I'm going to preach that day. And so I'm going to read from that today. Now, we may not get all of this read today, not because the sermon was so long, but this was a sermon in three parts. Part one, part two, part three. And I preached this sermon over three consecutive Sundays. Now, the name of this is the 12 Timeless Thessalonian Admonitions, and we find them at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me read these to you as Paul's bringing this letter to a close here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'll begin here in verse 14, where Paul writes, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, holding fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." Now, I'm going to preach three sermons on that, and those are sort of what outlined in the Rock Cliff Review. Before I get to the Rock Cliff Review itself, I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. So now let's read from the Rock Cliff Review. 12 Timeless Thessalonian Admonitions, Part 1. As Paul brought his first letter to the Thessalonians to a close, he admonished the saints with a series of sentence sermons. The Thessalonian church was young. They were in need of further instruction, and they were going through trials brought on by those who were without. All of this should be considered when we meditate on these admonitions, but for the most part, these Thessalonian admonitions have a universal flavor. They are unbound by immediate context and have application for all the saints of all churches in all times, places, and situations. Four of these sermons and admonitions are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." The church is not a body of perfect people. There have always been among the saints those who were unruly, feeble-minded, and weak. It is a sign of a healthy church to have such among us, for it is evidence of successful evangelism. We come to the Lord as babes in Christ, and with the help of our brethren, we spiritually mature. When Paul is exhorting us, urging us, begging us, and beseeching us, he is appealing to our better natures. Those admonitions are not given as commands, but for those whose heart is set on pleasing God, such exhortations have all the force of an obligation. Paul addressed the Thessalonian saints as brethren. This included both Jews and Gentiles who had come together into the fellowship of Christ. This is a new relationship. In the family of Christ, in the church of Christ, we come together as a spiritual family with family love and family commitment to each other and a family concern for everyone in the fraternity. And so Paul writes, "Warn them that are unruly." The unruly are those who are not abiding by the accepted rules of proper behavior. They are out of step. We read of those in Thessalonica who were disorderly in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. Paul reminded them that we behave not ourselves disorderly among you in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 7. And Paul commanded, "Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly," 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. In context, the unruly and disorderly were those who would not work to provide for their own necessities. Paul admonished such, "Study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands," 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 11. "That if any would not work, neither should he eat," 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. "And with quietness they work and eat their own bread," 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. However, the word includes any type of unruly behavior. We warn the unruly by reminding them of the consequences of their behavior. And then Paul writes, "Comfort the feeble-minded." The King James Version word, feeble-minded, brings to mind those who are mentally deficient. Certainly, we should be kind toward all who are such, but the word may be better translated faint-hearted, as in discouraged. The word literally means small souls. We comfort them by encouraging them. And Paul wrote, "Support the weak." This sounds similar to comfort the feeble-minded. It brings to mind a later admonition Paul would write in his letter to the saints in Rome. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves," Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. "And then be patient toward all men." The word translated patient literally means long-tempered, as opposed to being short-tempered. Spiritual growth takes time, and we must resist being frustrated at the slow growth in our brethren. It is a quality of charity to suffer long, and to be kind, and to bear all things, and to endure all things, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. With these admonitions, the saints in Thessalonica could help each other through their trials, and the same admonitions can help us through the trials of our own day. Now that was part one. I followed that next Sunday with a lesson that goes to part two, 12 Timeless Thessalonian Admonitions, part two. And the article in the Rockcliffe Review for that Sunday reads like this. In the previous article, part one, we considered four sentence sermon admonitions from 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, namely, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all. In this part two, we will consider four more from 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 15 through 18. This next admonition has a negative followed by a positive. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15. The return of that which is good, a word good here meaning beneficial, for that which is evil, which in contrast to beneficial means harmful, so a return of that which is beneficial for that which is harmful, is one of the distinguishing features of Christianity. Christ taught such in the Sermon on the Mount, as he explained the spiritual nature of his kingdom. Read it again. Jesus said, "Ye've heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good for them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now that's Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. And those teachings are repeated in the New Testament by Paul in Romans 12, 14 through 21, and Peter in 1 Peter 3, verses 9 through 17. This admonition would have special application to the young Christians who are suffering from those who are without. The next admonition is 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Rejoice evermore. In the Greek, this is the shortest verse in the New Testament, being shorter than the shortest English verse, John 11:35, Jesus wept, by two Greek letters. There is a circumstantial irony between these two short verses. For while one speaks of weeping, the other speaks of joy. Verily, it is because Jesus wept that we can rejoice evermore. And that he hath suffered, being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews 2 and verse 18. Knowing that he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, we have the boldness to come to the throne of his grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. And again, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and with his stripes we are healed. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray without ceasing. We sing, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Prayer is a spiritual exercise. And as with physical exercise, it takes effort. We become weary and neglect it. And it shows in our spiritual health. But also as with physical exercise, constant, regular attention to this activity will make us stronger. Jesus taught us in Luke 18 and verse 1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus sought out time for prayer and left us an example that we should follow. And then the fourth admonition, which is the eighth in this series of 12, is 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're not going to have time to discuss that one. We're going to save that for our next class period. And you turn in and we'll complete with this and then part 3 of this series on 12 Thessalonian admonitions.